good morning. This is Lauren Razor, author of Living a Wealthy Life, an attorney in New York, and it's a blessed day. I'm at a location where I'm looking outside, and it's really beautiful. Thank you for those who created a theme song for my show, Living a Wealthy Life, and it's based upon 18 principles of living and having success, prosperity, and happiness. Each week, we're going to talk about topics that are important to you out there, and we're also trying to have some fun before you go to church and you hear the message of God. I'm a God-fearing person, and I just wanted to give you this time to provide you with some expertise, because we're going to get into some law stuff later in the show. We're going to get into just a whole lot of things that will help you with your lives and help you do and help you live the best, I guess, have some success, prosperity, and happiness. You know, just switching off topics this morning, is Black women or are Black women under attack? That was the headlines that I saw in the Amsterdam News. And it starts by the case of many of the cases that are out here. There are five Black women that have died in the custody of the police. And one of the cases is in Mount Vernon, where I live. And I am the lawyer for the city of Mount Vernon. And we are involved with that case in the sense the Attorney General has now stepped in and by executive order usurped the power of the Westchester County DA's office, which is not unusual because the Attorney General is acting as the special prosecutor. So, and that's not an unusual scenario under the circumstances in which we find ourselves in the United States, the lack of trust of the police force in many of our communities, which leads to the prosecution or leads to the special prosecutor being appointed. And, you know, those are the things that we are talking about today. One of the things that we also, you know, that came to my mind in terms of happiness, I'll start in reverse. So many of us today are not happy. And, you know, as they say, we have to get to happy. I think Oprah said that, or I'm not sure who said it, but we have to get to being happy with ourselves and in our lives. And sometimes we are so busy, you know, with doing whatever it is that we do, we don't get to the point of being happy or even attempting to find happiness in our lives. And so we're going to dedicate one show to dealing with issues of why we're not happy. What is it that we're doing? We're doing a lot of things, but certainly we're not, you know, some people say, you know, you could be the most powerful woman out here. However, you may not be happy. You know, you could be doing a whole lot of things, but you certainly may not be happy. So how do we get to that point of happiness in our lives? Spending more time with our family, and not just spending time with them, but spending quality time. Sometimes I have to slow it down just a little bit because, you know, I don't have time to, sometimes so busy, don't have time to spend time with myself and things that actually make me feel good and make me happy. So the show talks about Black women under attack. I am an African-American woman, and I know that there has been a lot of talk about Black women dying in police custody. We have Sandra Bland, Kendra Chapman, Renette Turner, who lived in Mount Vernon, died in a cell in Mount Vernon jail. Joyce Colonel, Ralkina Jones, those individuals also died in police custody. One of Sandra Bland, just to go a little bit over the cases, Sandra Bland allegedly was pulled over on July 10th for failing to use a turn signal. They said at the end of the day she committed suicide, which no one believes. Kendra Chapman, who was 18, she was Alabama, was arrested for allegedly stealing a cell phone. She was charged with first-degree robbery. She was found dead the same day from asphyxia by hanging. Joyce Cornell, who is 50 from South Carolina, was arrested on July 21st due to an outstanding warrant for shoplifting. My understanding, the following day, she was found dead in her cell. Her autopsy is also pending. And Rakina Jones, 37, from Cleveland, was arrested in a domestic dispute and was charged with assault, domestic violence. She was also found dead in her cell the following day. Although the autopsy said no suspicious injuries. Well, and then we have Renette Jones. Now, of course, I cannot talk about the investigation wholeheartedly. And what our office is doing as the lead attorney for Mount Vernon, I'm the attorney that will and has retained an individual that is going to help the city of Mount Vernon look into the matter of Renette Turner. We have some constraints because the special prosecutor and the attorney general has been on the ground and they have been investigating this case. Basically, they're fully in full control of the case, which limits our ability to speak about the case and to speak about all of the circumstances which led to Ms. Renette Turner's death. However, I can tell you that with the leadership of this mayor and with the kind of guidance that myself is lending, former New York State Assistant Attorney General, I am the former prosecutor in Manhattan District Attorney's Office and former Deputy Assistant Chief and senior trial lawyer for the Corporation Council of the City of New York City. That's my past background. So it is important that we have someone who's going to take an independent look at Renette Turner. We take it seriously, and I take it seriously. Not only do I take it seriously, I believe my reputation is important, and that I myself cannot. There's no position I could say that's worth it unless we get to the truth and to the bottom of what is happening. Now, there is no evidence of wrongdoing, and we don't know if there's going to be evidence of wrongdoing. There's a lot of factors that play into her death, which may lead to various other conclusions. But we can't jump to conclusions at this point, although we want answers. You see, when it comes to, someone said, as I was doing an article interview for a news article, they talked about Black lives and Black women. Well, they said Black lives matter, then it's Black women's lives matter. I'm glad that there is a dialogue about Black women and our lives. I am happy that we are having a discussion about our sisters, our mothers, our aunts, the givers of birth and of life in our Black kingdom and queendom. So I start from the standpoint as I am looking at the pictures of the women that died in the custody of the police department or these police departments all over the United States. I think about Black women worldwide. I think about the Black women that were 200 were kidnapped in Africa, country in Africa, and I will get it escapes me the country. I don't want to miss. I don't want to name a country, and it's not the appropriate name. So the point that I'm making is that Black women have always mattered, and our brothers matter too. So we don't want to leave out men also, but we want to make it clear that there has been an attack on Black women, but the attack is in a different way. It's not just about the attack on women that are in the custody of police officers. It is about the neglect of the sisters that are out there. And what happens with that, it has a ripple effect on all sisters. And those of us who know me know what the ripple effect is. So what we do is, I looked at some statistics, and, you know, and let me just say this, there are political people out there, Mount Vernon, wherever they are, all over the world, all over the states, that want to use Black women and the death of Black women as their political football. I dare say, I think you should stop. And I say that because I don't hear people, the same people, raising the issues of about Black women other than this specific case. And therefore, we have to make sure that we as Black women come together and that we're not being used as we often are used, and that we're not being used for anyone's game. So I say that we have to make sure that anyone out there who utilizes our lives and the deaths of us as a way to play political football, I say, you know, we figure out who not to vote for. So that's all I can say about that. I've heard, I've read, I've heard what people are trying to have, various meetings about Black women. And I say, where were you? When was the last time you heard someone talk about the poverty of Black women in the United States? Right now, 29%. Of all head of households, single women with children, are Black women. 25.1% of those women are living in poverty, below a salary of $33,000 a year. You see, I don't hear anybody talking about that. But when it comes to politics, they'll pick and choose what they want to talk about. Also, I'd say another issue that affects us, 66% of the new cases that are dealing with AIDS or new AIDS cases are Black women. We're not. We've just totally forgot about that. We forgot about that our women are dying at the hands of diseases, domestic violence cases, at the hands of our spouses, and therefore there are greater issues among us that needs to be dealt with. So if you say that black lives, women's lives are under attack, it has always been under attack. It's just no one has vetted us out in a separate cause. And therefore, no one has separated us out saying that our financial conditions are a crisis in this country. The infant mortality rate is just as high as being in a third world country. So more black children are dying and before they even give birth, a lot of children and a lot of women have lost their children. So we have all of that. Then we have, according to the statistics, HIV is the leading cause of death among 25 and 34-year-old black women. We are leading. That's one of the, for 25 to 34 STD diseases, HIV is the leading cause of death. We also look at the fact that black women are murdered at a higher rate, cases of domestic violence. So what I'm saying to you is that we're looking at a situation where we as black women are in crisis. And part of the problem is that it is a ripple effect for us. So when we talk about cases like a Renette Turner and we look at it from a social standpoint, and of course, looking at the cause of death is critical in this case, but also looking at her background. According to the records, they say she had bariatric surgery. Was that appropriate surgery for her? What was the issue? Was it obesity? Are we as black women dealing with obesity in a knee-jerk reaction? Are we, you know, going for the surgery too quickly? So, you know, those are some of the healthcare issues. I know that there are black women that have a cancer and who can't afford to go to Sloan Kettering or go to some of the top doctors and top hospitals because their coverage, they will not be covered. Certain things will come covered. So it's not a mistake. Certain things are covered, but certain things are not being covered. So, you know, the political football that is being played by during an election time, we must pause and we must group together. And part of it is that we have families that are certainly not intact. The average African American woman is not married. The average with children. Therefore, there is only one breadwinner. Sometimes the women have to drag the fathers of their children to court. So that becomes an issue. And even in the case of domestic violence, we saw Ray Rice and we saw what happened in that case. And finally, you know, she was hit as if she was a rag doll. And I understand that, you know, the circumstances that led to it, people saw in the video that she may have thrown the first blow or whatever, and, you know, this, that, and the other. But he is a man, and he absolutely knows his strength. And from that standpoint, I do understand that, you know, people see both sides of it. But to punch that woman, it wasn't the fact of the punch that we're looking at. We're looking at what happened after. You can agree or disagree about whether he had a right to do what he did, which I say no. I also saw him dragging this young woman out of an elevator as if she was nothing. She was all exposed. He grabbed her by an arm like she was a rag doll. That's the feeling that he had about the giver of earth. That is the feeling that he had about those of us who give life, the feeling of a person who you wouldn't even if you realized you've made a mistake under those circumstances, you didn't pick her up and carry her. You didn't try to see if she was okay. You pretty much dragged her out of an elevator as if she was a bag of garbage. So when you talk about Black women's lives, do they matter? In many contexts, the answer is no. And it's just not in the context of the police department. It certainly is in the context of the world view. I'll tell you why. I'll say to you why. And you know, it could be women's issues. You can lump it in that way. You know, lump it any way you want to lump it. But the way we're acting now, and the way we're dressing now, and the kinds of outfits that our young ladies wear. Yes, and then, you know, I'm not a person who didn't dance, didn't party, didn't have a good time. Certainly, I'm not that person, you know, and I'm not in, you know, passing judgment. But the way we dress, it shows that we don't, our lives don't matter. We're saying to the world that we don't matter. We have no respect for our bodies. We have no respect for our children that watch us. I'm looking at an article that said Black women continue to be at greatest risk for lethal violence in an intimate relationship. So, you know, basically, those are the things that we're talking about. But we also have to show that we matter. You know, we're not going to just do anything to compete to get a man. We have to go back to we have to go back to the time where we did have pride in the way that we looked. And that the fact that we're showing every single thing and every body part, and I'm not talking about all women, I'm talking about a good number of our young women, the things that I see that they're wearing shows that their lives don't matter. It doesn't matter to those women. It doesn't matter whether you're shown a level of respect. It doesn't matter that you're a queen. It doesn't matter that your mothers, you give birth to a world and to a nation. It doesn't matter. So the reason is, if it doesn't matter to you, then it can't, your life cannot matter to anyone else. Doesn't matter to anyone else. So, you know, those are the kinds of questions, the dialogues that we have to have ourselves. And if we don't have those dialogues among ourselves, and if we can't get our daughters and our nieces and our girl cousins, if we can't get them to understand that every queendom and every queendom, there is a regal level of dressing in every queendom. Queens don't dress in the way that we see our daughters and our children wanting to dress. You know, I looked at Princess Di. She is a queen. She held her head and her title as a queen. She dressed like a world leader. Michelle Obama dressed like a queen, a world leader. But also we have to show what we're... So back to the topic of Black lives and Black women's lives, and are we under attack? We first have to look within. But yes, there are forces out there that have set in motion a system that that will leave us under attack. And those are the things that we have to, those are the things as we as Black women have to take a look at. So when we look at a Miss Turner and the other deaths, we have to be supportive of all of the aspects of their lives. Allegedly, Ms. Turner, according to our police reports, had an incident of shoplifting with a local store. And I say alleged because it wasn't proven. I don't know if that is in fact the case. In addition to that, she was shoplifting at a store, I believe Target's, or Restaurant Depot. Why is the question? If it's true, the question is why? The question is why? So the social issues surrounding that have to be looked at also. So I remember the case, and this is too, maybe too heavy on Sunday, but I used to listen to sometimes Minister Farrakhan, you think what I'm talking about is heavy, you know, and these are what our preachers should be preaching about. And they should be talking about the way we handle ourselves and the way women are dressing. We must have those dialogues. So then I looked at this case. There was accusations of a young woman who accused, I believe, the North Carolina lacrosse team of rape, and it turned out it wasn't true. But what escaped us the most was, and what was not talked about, was this young lady was a college student. And I don't know whether it went over my head or went over people's heads, but what was a college student who had opportunity stripping in order to get tuition? So, I mean, those are the questions that just didn't resonate among the various groups that were out there protesting. So, you know, so what are we talking about when we're talking about Black women? The issues are being missed, you know, being skipped over. So, like, the real issue was it one of poverty? In other words, that student that was stripping, was that an issue of the fact that the student was not able to obtain tuition? You know, what was the issue? And what do we say about that? You know, what do we say? So those are the things that we're talking about. We're talking about a, you know, we're talking about potentially black women and what is the attack and how is it coming? It is coming in different directions, and it's something that has to be addressed on a national level. It's not even being talked about in any way or meaningful form. And we have to begin to talk about a whole plethora of services and looking at the needs of black women and understand that the attack is not just through an arrest and the custody death. So those are the things we'll be looking at. I'm hoping that we'll have more discussion about the Black Women's Lives Matter. I mean, even Terry Williams talks about the pain that she had, black pain, a woman who... So the attack is on all levels. The attack is not just on the physical. The attack is on the mental. The attack is not just the cases and that aspect of life. Now, what it is it's how we're treated, and black women are being, again, the statistics, what we're looking at now are the fact that we have an increasing number of black women that are incarcerated. So what you're seeing now is, well, you're saying, you know, all of these women were arrested, but what you're seeing is a rise of more women being incarcerated than before. So you have more, so the prison population is also being, is exploded, and what's new is that you now have a level of black women, African Americans are more likely to be arrested, but black women also, those rates are going up and up and up. So, and that's basically what we're talking about. So there we have it from that standpoint. So what are we talking about? We're talking about there are levels of attack. There are, like I said, Terry Williams talked about black pain. Our sisters are going through the mental aspect of things. We are going through so much that puts us in a position of doing the kinds of things we're doing. So, for example, not dealing with low self-esteem. Those are issues. Not dealing with financial issues that we're going through. Black women not dealing with educators, being educated, that issue. So we're looking at an entire, and it's scary because I'll tell you why it's scary. The most important thing is black women are perceived as being the strength of our community. And that is what is now eroding and eroding and eroding. African American women, as I'm looking at it, are now the fastest growing prison population. That's painful. African American women who for decades were able to avoid incarceration rates of their male counterparts are seeing an upswing in their imprisonment. It's troubling. What is exacerbating it? The judicial system. we have more Black women, for whatever poverty reasons, are now engaged in the life of crime. So when we're looking at the Renette Turners, and we're looking, some of them that were there on an innocent basis. So I certainly don't condone anything once it's found out in a specific report and comprehensive report that if the authorities are in fact responsible for any of these women's deaths, that they should not, that the law should be allowed to work where those who are responsible get punished. So certainly that's really what I'm looking at. But they're saying that African-American women basically are the number one group that is increasing the criminal population. Once in the criminal justice system, African-American girls are treated with brutality, so much emotional and sexual abuse while they're inside. So we're talking about, what do we do to fix this? What do we do? We have to look at it. And our communities are going to continue to be devastated. So we get back to that question of, are Black women, or is are we under attack? In many ways, we are. And in many ways, our system does not address, I'm looking at another statistic, not only are Black women 8 times more likely than white women to go to prison in the first place, they are also given longer sentences and suffer extreme abuses at the hands of prison authorities. So there must be a panel, there must be dialogues, but we're not in the dialogue. If there is a conference, these issues are barely touched. So it is up to women, it is up to us, it is up to us to determine what our, how our lives matter, and do we really matter to ourselves. So we have to have a game plan, and our game plan has to be talking to our daughters. And we must somehow pass the word, because it is such an influence. The media is an influence, and then we play into the influence. We can't seem to block the young ladies that are in the entertainment industry that continue to dress in a manner that is clearly not how a queen would dress, how a mother should dress, and those are the things that we must take a look at. But so we have to begin that dialogue. So anyone out there who wants to talk about Black women and talk about the death of this Black woman and of Renette Turner has to talk from a level of the holistic aspect. Not just the issue of the case, because cases come and go, but the issue of poverty and Black women, our lives do matter. We have to just make sure we remind ourselves of that it does. Have a good day. Have a blessed day. We'll take it from the top on next Sunday, and we have a lot of good things to talk about. And Black women's lives do matter. We have to love ourselves and love others and make sure they know it, and have a good week. This is Lauren Razor, Living the Wealthy Life.